Okay, so in preparations for this, it hasn't been easy at all, and this morning was no different. As double mic day, as the printer from our printer had no ink, call up my sister, hers has no ink. We find that out as we're heading out the door. Thankfully, my aunt was able to print it, and Dave brought his printer here. So I got two copies. So if I don't make any sense this morning, I do have a copy if you want to read it. I don't know, for some reason I find it just really difficult to share about my testimony or personal things. And it's just, I don't know, it's weird. Maybe it's a security thing or just trying to hold on and be a little bit too private or different things. But I'll do my best to share honestly, and there will be some things that I will leave out just because they're a little too personal. But that, I'm sure that happens all the time. But I think everyone here knows me, but just in case, I am Trevor McNulty, and I was born and raised in Timmins, and my mother and my sister are here today, and I have another sister, Erin, who's not. My father lives in Timmins as well, but there is just, we don't have really a good relationship at all, and it's pretty much non-existent, unfortunately, and I'll get to the reasons for that in a minute. But it was from the moment that I can remember, I do remember my mother being really great and us doing a lot of special things. And I also remember my dad being told to do a lot of things with me and forced. And that's just a little awkward, I guess, when you know your kid and your dad doesn't want to do really anything with you and would rather listen to a ball game on a radio or hockey or do whatever and not put any effort into the relationship. And the older I got, the more I understood and the more I seen come to the surface, and it was it got ugly. But it was as he was abusive and verbally and emotionally, mainly, occasionally physically, but there was a few nights, well, more than a few nights, that I remember going to bed and hearing a lot of turmoil in the house, and just it was very loud. But thankfully, my mother had the courage to do what she needed to do and what God needed her to do to protect the family, and that was to step away and get a separation from my father, and things instantly looked up and things cleared. And unfortunately, that didn't last too long because of all the damage that had been done, I guess, during the period that he was around, that the emotions and confusion kind of came up. And me and my sisters put my mom to hell and back a couple times. And it was really difficult on her, I'm sure, and I'm sorry for the way I acted. But anger problems definitely existed in me. And as I got older, vulgarity and swearing was just rampant, I guess I would say. And it was a very difficult time. I would say it lasted at least 4 or 5 years of that being a major problem. I don't remember exactly when it started, but I do know that that it wasn't good. I believe it was in 1998, my sister Erin met up with youth from the South End Pentecostal, and she would hang out with them at school and youth group on Friday nights. It was very confusing because we had grown up Catholic our whole life, and we had no idea what she was talking about, what she was doing, and it was very confusing. And for me personally, I guess I was in quite a dark state, and any time she came around and was talking about Jesus, I was just infuriated. I could not stand the name. It really made me angry. And I remember swearing at her and telling her to be quiet and to get away. And there was obviously a major inner turmoil going on inside of me that really needed to be dealt with. And I believe it was 2 years later, my sister Kristen started going to the youth group at the First Baptist in Timmins, and she went there for a little bit, and then for some odd reason, I believe it was around year 2000, she invited me to go to Bible study, and I don't know why to this day, but I said yes and I went. I didn't know what a Bible study was. I didn't, you know, it was just very odd circumstances that made me say yes. And I can't, the only way I can explain it is that God chose me way beyond when I chose Him. And it was in His plan, and just shows how much of pawns we really are. And when He wants something, He gets it done. And it doesn't always make sense to us. But it was my lifestyle of sin and confusion continued, and I was learning lots, and it was actually quite interesting, learning the Bible from an evangelical perspective. It came to life, but I still had no life in me. And it was on Good Friday of 2001 that I finally surrendered after about a year and a half of God heavily pulling on my heart and telling me to just surrender to Him, and I just wouldn't. I remember so many times being at church and just feeling a tug inside of me that I cannot explain. It was felt almost like physical, and it was just that it was like, you need to go, you need to surrender. And I just ignored Him for a long time, and that's a huge mistake, obviously, and it never works. Like I said, God always gets His way. But eventually I did surrender on that Good Friday, and instantly things started to change. It was because I was a new creation in Christ. And anger problems and different things that was the first point where I think I was actually able to really work on it and to step away from that. In 2003, my grandmother got ill very, very suddenly and passed away pretty suddenly. And that was a big shock to my family, because we always called their place Grand Central Station. That was the hub. Everything went through them. And my grandmother was the life of the party in that relationship. And at that point, I might have heard my grandfather speak maybe 100 words. It was he didn't speak. It was unbelievable. And the only thing I can remember him saying really before that point was him getting mad at me for shooting a hockey puck at his door. But he really, like, when my grandmother passed away, it was a horrible time, but God really, really spoke to me and showed me that He is so caring, and that He has everything in control, and He cares for the smallest part of our lives. And my grandmother's wish was to not know she was going to die and to not suffer. Well, she was on the phone with my mother, and you know, within minutes or less, she no longer knew what was going on. She had a brain aneurysm, but God's blessings weren't done yet. He took the one we loved dearly, but He gave us almost 2 weeks of grieving period and adjustment period while she was in the hospital to get adjusted to the idea. It just shows just how much God really cares, that He has our best interest at heart all the time, even in death. during that year of 2003, it was that made a major change in my personal walk. I found it was just a real good way to get deeper and to just kind of get out of the infancy stages of Christianity. And I don't read. I'm a very, very poor reader. It used to take me about a month to read a comic book. And I'm not even kidding. Like, it was very bad. I can blame that on the education system, because apparently when I was in grade 7, I was at a grade 3 level. So, yeah, but I was getting straight A's where I was before. But it was just really a big time for change and reading and growing, and just I marked that as a pivotal point of really taking the next step. After high school, I had a friend who was bugging me and really convincing me that I should go to Bible college. And, you know, I thought about it, prayed about it. Seemed like fun. Seemed very expensive, but thought it could be a real good thing for me. And so I applied, and I didn't get in. I've never heard of anyone not getting into Bible college, but I prayed that God would just guide. And I said, if you want me there. I felt one school, and I applied to one, and I didn't get in. And it was shocking, but it was very good. And God had much bigger plans than I could see. And he really did reveal them quite quickly after that point. So when I was going to school on the bus one day, must have been really early September of, I think it would have been 2005, I met up with an old friend, Adam Edwards, on the bus, and he made mention that the Open End Youth Center was going to be starting from the ashes of Faith Community Church. And I had gone to Java Junction when I was in high school, when it ran under the church. And I knew what an important ministry that was. And even though it was not like me, it was a very non-committal person. And all I thought about was hockey and sports and wanting to play all the time. And for some reason, I just said yes right away. I didn't even think about it. And I believe that was God's guiding. And then through that, I was able to, it's kind of bad, but just manipulate the system a little bit and get Hannah to be my co-leader. When she really didn't want anything to do with me at first, but hey, when you're working with someone for that long and on ministry projects, anything can happen. So now we're very happily married and have an awesome son. But also out of that, we've been serving there for 7 years, and it's been challenging, but it's been very good. And we became board members, I think, a year after we got Java started, and been on the board and doing Java ever since, and had the awesome privilege of working at the center for a year and a half as a full-time worker. And the experiences that I learned there and had were incredible, and some very painful, but like losing Josh DePelto recently, that was a very, very big blow, and still is. But I know that even the ones that get away or get lost, God has a plan for, and we don't know what fruits have been planted in the other children. We know that God is using that ministry, and we're very blessed to be a part of it. But that brings me up to now. And so that's my testimony. When Phil asked me to speak to you today, he asked if I was he pretty much left up to me to do whatever I was comfortable with. And I knew that my life didn't have too much exciting to say, so it was I would do also a mini sermon at the same time. And now comes the point where I pick on Carrie, like I promised Lorraine I'd do. And Carrie, if you can do me the favor and answer the following question. Who, for you, in your own words, who am I? Like, who are you? Excellent. Evidently, I picked on the wrong guy because he knew the answer. But there's a big, very important thing that I've realized over the past, and my pastor, who was my mentor before, Daryl, he'd keep drilling me with that question. Who are you, Trevor? And I'd say, well, I'm Trevor, and he'd stop me right there. He's like, no, you're not. I'm like, I'm kind of confused, and I had no idea how to answer his question. Then he'd say, no, who are you? I'm a mechanic? No, you're not. You are not a mechanic. I'm like, well, I'm pretty sure that I go to the shop every day, and but I guess that that didn't cut it for him. And then he told me to read the book Victory Over Darkness by, why am I forgetting his name right now? Neil T. Anderson. And then he also writes The Bondage Breaker and different books that I would recommend picking up at Harmony House. It really helps you understand what we're up against and who we are. And like Carrie nailed it, it's all about our identity is who we are in Christ. And nothing else matters. Because as it says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. So the moment of your salvation, you have a new identity. You are not the old person. That old person is gone. And now you have an identity in Christ. And it's extremely important to realize that. But there are so many ways that the devil deceives us and lies to us, and that we think that we understand, you know, what God is saying about us, but the devil puts in so many little slippery and very, very believable lies. He does not make up crazy, far-fetched things too often. You know, he's the master deceiver, and that's why we end up believing so much of what he says, and as a result, don't actually believe what the Bible says anymore, unfortunately, because we have, we haven't armed ourselves with enough truth, and just knowing exactly what it is that God says of you, and you know, this should affect us, and you know, it should change the way we live Monday to Saturday, for sure, and Sunday. And I don't know if it applies to you guys, but, you know, do you ever wonder why is it so hard to connect with God on a day-to-day basis? And I'm going to be pulling up some points. And if we believe what God says is true, then there's no reason why we constantly have trouble connecting with God or have trouble with our feelings, and our faith becomes a roller coaster instead of a level flatline plane. And If we look at how the devil worked on Jesus in the desert for the 40 days of temptation, one point, and if you do want to flip, you can flip to Matthew 4, 1 to 11. I'm going to just be, you know, paraphrasing it and stuff, but the devil comes up to Jesus and he starts quoting out of context scripture to God and Jesus. You know, that's pretty foolish, but he does it anyways, and obviously Jesus knows right away. He's like, it's out of context. And it's where he's discussing that if he can jump off the high ledge and that God would not allow anything to happen to him. And then Jesus fights him back by answering with scripture. And, you know, that is, you know, a big lesson for us to learn is that how do we know what is a lie unless we actually know the truth? And there are... this is a very thick book. Like, that's ridiculous. If I wanted to read this, I'd need 100 lifetimes. And the... So how do we do this? How do we know the truth? How do we defend properly? You know, there's always ways, but at least I would say start at the foundation of who are you in Christ. And I think that most of the devil's attacks come off of that area. And if you know who you are in Christ, then you have a defense mechanism. And, you know, if he will have the nerve to twist scripture and use it against Jesus, he will definitely do that against us. So how often do we feel that we are failures, sinners, all alone, unloved, incomplete, unforgiven, and that God is so far away, useless, unrighteous, can keep going? You know, how often do we believe that or struggle with that? We're, like I said, we're very blessed to have a heavenly Father in a heavenly realm, but since that's true, that means the devil's also true. So you got to take, they come in a package. Okay, I have a handout that was put in the bulletin. It's folded up. Do I remember where I put my bulletin? I'll just read it from the book. Thanks, Okay. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. Is the order different? Oh, okay. Okay, well, we're gonna attempt this. Hopefully my order is the same as what you have in front of you. But I would like if we could all read out loud. We won't have to read the scripture references, but read the column, and like it'll be in Christ, I am accepted, etc. So if we can start, and if we can all, if you are a Christian here today, and if you have truly surrendered your life, then this applies to you, everything. And if you're not a Christian today, God wants this to be very true about you. And even if you don't, if you're not in either of those categories, some of them still do apply to you. Okay, let's start. I am God's child. As a disciple, I am a friend of Jesus Christ. I have been justified. I am united with the Lord. I am one with His Spirit. I have been bought with a price and belong to God. I am a member of Christ's body. I have been chosen by God and adopted as His child. I have been redeemed and forgiven of all my sins. I am in Christ. I have direct access to the throne of grace through Jesus Christ. Yeah, keep going, sorry. I am free from condemnation.
I am assured that God works for my good in all circumstances. I am free from my own condemnation.
But against me, and I cannot be separated from the love of God. I have been established, anointed, and sealed by God. I am hidden with Christ in God. I am confident that God will complete the work desired in me. I am a citizen of heaven. I have not been given a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. I am born of God, and the evil one cannot touch me. I am a branch of Jesus Christ, the true vine, and a channel of His life. I have been chosen and anointed to bear fruit. I am God's temple. I am a minister of reconciliation for God. I am seated with Jesus Christ in the heavenly realm. I am God's burdenship. I may approach God with freedom and confidence. I can do all things with Christ who strengthens me.
Thank you. So now the question is, who are we going to believe? This is what God says through the scriptures about you. And now the choice is in your court with those. But we're just going to run through a few of them. So hopefully you can read that. But the scripture for that one is, for we are God's children. Yet to all who did receive Him, to those who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. Now, this is an extremely important aspect, and I find it's the foundation. And I'm just going to do a quote from the book, Bondage Breaker. Nothing is more foundational to your freedom from Satan's bondage than understanding and affirming what God has done for you in Christ and who you are as His child. Your attitudes, actions, responses, and reactions to life circumstances are greatly affected by what you believe about yourself. If you see yourself as helpless, as the helpless victim of Satan and his schemes, you will probably live like a victim and be in bondage to his lies. But if you see yourself as dearly loved and accepted child of God, you will have a better chance of living like one. I think that is what John is saying in John 1:3-3. See how great the love of the Father has bestowed on us, that we would be called children of God. And such we are, beloved. Now we are children of God. Everyone who has this hope fixed on Him purifies himself just as He is pure. So it's pretty incredible that, you know, God offers that. And I was saying earlier that if you feel alone or different things, you know, if we imagine, you know, our parents, and, you know, I may have not had a great father, but, you know, my mother more than made up, and everyone, we all have our earthly parenting. And no offense to any of the amazing parents, but our parenting does not even come close to God's. And, you know, as much as flawed creatures we are, most of us have the instincts to not abandon our children and to take care of them and serve them and look out for their best interests. But God is perfect, and He is far greater. And that is a huge, huge privilege to be His child. So we have been justified. And just in case, I'll just give the definition of justified. It means declared or made righteous in the sight of God. So, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into His grace in which we now stand. To not believe you have been justified is to believe that Christ's work on the cross was not
was not complete. So in my paragraph or my paraphrase, you're slapping God in the face. It's complete. The devil easily tries to make us believe that we are still blemished and that we are just flawed creatures. And that is true. But the important piece here is that it's not our perspective that matters anymore. It's what does God see when He looks down? We are not the same creation. And when we accept Christ, and when you look in Colossians, I had the verse somewhere, but it says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ isn't, God's not looking down, He's seeing Christ. He's not seeing you anymore, because if He did, we would never get into heaven. But He sees Christ. And that's the way that we need to live and remember that. And if we don't, it's going to be a constant struggle, even worse than it is right now. And if we are struggling right now, then allowing yourself to fully believe and grasp what God is saying about you and holding it as true could be what you need to get on the path of healing. It looks like time is going very, very fast, but I am going to try and get through this quickly. I asked Dave how many pages he typically does. He said 13. I'm like, uh-oh, I only had 5. And it's like, thank goodness I don't have 13. We bring lunch in here. But we are united with the Lord and one with Him in spirit. If we believe this, how could we feel alone? We are never alone. Christ has sent His Holy Spirit. He is with us always, and Christ dwells in us. So even if around us physically we are alone, we are not. And here's an important one. We have been bought with a price. We belong to God. God did not get us on a 75% off sale. He paid full price, a brutal, brutal price. And He does belong. We do belong to Him. And we need to allow that to affect our lives in, I dare to say, much greater effects than we currently do. Jesse read the persecuted church, and you know, those people over there, you know, we may say, oh, it's easier for them. They don't have as much. They don't have this. It can seem that they have more of God. I don't know if we were under that persecution, how many people would be sitting here today. I don't know if I'd be sitting here today necessarily. We might be having Bible studies in our basements, locked up, hiding, and being very scared and... But we have such freedom here, but their churches are exploding over there, and ours are dying over here. And we have so much freedom. And, you know, God really, really wants us to be more active. We belong to Him, and we work for Him now. And, you know, unfortunately, we do have to go to work and do different things, but if that is our focus, it's off, and we can have such a ministry at our workplace while we're doing work, or in our attitudes and our actions, and like I said earlier, bringing Christ with us on a day-to-day basis, you know, is what we need to get to. And we are members of Christ's body. I think we all already are very familiar with that verse and stuff, and it goes along with what I was saying, that we all have a role to play. And it doesn't matter if you're a head, a foot, a kidney, or a bladder. You are important. And if you don't do your function, the body doesn't work. And it's yeah, like our giftings sometimes aren't what we want them to be. They might not be flashy enough, and that's why I said the kidney or the bladder. They're not very popular parts of the body. I don't think if we had a choice, I think we'd all be gunning for the brain. You know, we want to be the brain. And I don't think anyone would be like, oh, my life dream is to be the kidney. I just like to filter everything. And, you know, but that's so important. And it's a role that we have to fill. And we should feel honored that God designed it in such a way that we are active participants in bringing his kingdom in a small way down to earth. And he could have done it without us, but he chose to include us. We should be honored. Here's the one that gets a lot of people stuck. Is it on this slide? Yeah. We are saints. You know, when God, when Paul wrote his letters or different things into the saints in Ephesus or saints in Colossae, you know, it does transfer through and apply to us. And I do believe that everything that's in the Bible is truth. And the attitude of the sainthood here on earth is, you know, we're not perfect, but if we believe, and how many people have been taught or believe that we are sinners saved by grace? We've all heard that, right? But if you're a sinner saved by grace, that means you're still a sinner. And sinners continue to sin, because in the root of believing that, that means, you know, you're still in some way just not believing that, you know, Christ has completely transformed you. And we definitely look around, and I look at myself in the mirror, and I don't see a saint at all. But like I said earlier, it's not what we see. It's what God sees. And it's all about an attitude shift in our minds and in our belief system. And if we believe that we are saints here on earth who make mistakes, it may give us more drive to avoid sin, to live in a saint, more of a saintly way, and not be stuck in the sin that we are. We have direct access to the Holy Spirit through God. That is such a blessing, and I think that was discussed here in a sermon not too long ago. But just how blessed we are to not, you know, have to go through the priests or different ways, but Christian and non-Christian, we all have access to God. You cry out, God hears you. And as Christians, it just means a little bit more to us. But it is true. And so don't believe the devil's lies that say you know, that God is far away from you. Because if that's the case, it's just you pushing God away. God's not going anywhere. You have constant direct access. And we have all been redeemed and forgiven of our sins. Amen? However, we're not James Bond, and we don't have a license to kill or sin in our case. That it's, you know, we still, our responsibility is no longer to worry about the sin per se. It's to worry about repentance. Repentance is our responsibility. Christ took care of sin on the cross. And if we learn true repentance and turn away and walk away, it's just amazing what can happen. And this one's rather big. We are complete in Christ. I've worked with and talked with a lot of, for some reason it seems to be girls on this one, but I'm sure it's the same for guys. The girls who struggled with, you know, with feeling complete. But God created you, And in the verse it says, "Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, who is the head of all principalities and power." So, I know a lot of people, we struggle. I'm too fat, not good looking enough, don't have the skill set that I would like, don't have the teeth or different things like that. And, you know, God made you a perfect and holy creation, and sin came, but then he restored that on the cross, and we are complete. And, you know, I could be a little off on this, but I really think that God would be insulted, you know, when we believe the devil. And he says, "You're not complete. You're lacking this. You can't do that ministry because you're not gifted this way." Well, if God's calling you to do something, he's going to equip you. And the Bible doesn't lie. And you are complete. You are loved. And all of the other things. And I did not even touch on anything from the "I am secure" section or "I am significant." But I really, really would encourage everybody, and the reason why I wanted the handout to be put in the bulletin, please take it home and read it in the morning. Just run through it, you know, pick certain days, go through the scriptures, verify it. But it's, I know it's helped me, and I think it can help a lot of people. And if you just kind of get that in your morning routine or after work routine or sometime in your day as a reminder, because like I said before, we are met with so many lies on a daily basis. So what does all this mean for us? And I dare to say it means everything. And you know, to understand who you are is important. I walked around as a Christian for at least 7-8 years, and I had no idea who I was in Christ. And obviously I struggled mightily because I didn't know. And I would just, you know, really encourage you guys to look into it. And if you want, I know Becky can get the book, or I can lend you The Bondage Breaker if you would like to look through it. Hannah, would you come up and prepare? And let's just pray. Father, we need your help big time to understand and to be able to identify all the lies that the devil will throw at us. And you are the one who can teach us the truth. It would be pretty impossible for us to be able to defend against everything. But Lord, I just pray that you'll work in all of us and grow in us and make us see what you see in us, and may that have a great effect and bear tons of fruit for you and your advancement in your kingdom. Amen.
Lunch will be ready in the fellowship hall. Everyone is welcome. Have a great day.